A reading from the sixth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 13, text number 10. Indra afflicted by a sinful reaction. Sri Suko Vacha Evam Sanchodito Viprar Murvam Ad Ripun Brahma Haicha Hatta Ate Tasmin Asada Visak Kapin Shishuku Vacha Evam So Chodito Viprar Marutvam Vipun Brahma Haicha Tatasmin Asada Visakapin. Word for word. Sri Sukuvacha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Evam, thus, Sanchodita, being encouraged, Vipray, by the Brahmanas, Marut, Vam, Indra, Ahanad, killed, Rupam, his enemy, Vichasura, Brahma Haicha, the sinful reaction for killing a Brahmana. Haite was killed. Tasmin, when he, Vichasura, Asada, approached Visakapin. Indra, who is also named Vishakapi. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami said, encouraged by the words of his sages, Indra killed Vichasura. When he killed the sinful, when he was killed, the sinful reaction for killing a Brahmana, Brahma Haicha, certainly took shelter of Indra. Report. After killing Vichasura, Indra could not surpass the Brahman Haicha, the sinful reaction for killing a Brahmana. Formerly he had killed one Brahmana, Vishwarup, out of circumstantial anger. But this time, following the advice of sages, he killed another Brahmana, purposefully. Therefore, the sinful reaction was greater than before. Indra could not be relieved from the reaction simply performing sacrifices for atonement. He had to undergo a severe series of sinful reactions. When he was free from suffering, the Brahmanas allowed him to perform the horse sacrifice. The plan, execution of sinful deeds and the strength of chanting the holy name or undergoing prayaschitta atonement cannot give relief to anyone, even to Indra or Nahusa. Nahusa was officiating for Indra, while Indra, absent from heaven, was going here and there to gain release from his sinful reaction. I don't know if this is sound clear. Some feedback. Is sound man here? No sound man. Sounds clear? Omar Ginati Ramdasha Janajana Sakaya Maxul Mitam Jainatas May Shiva Venamaha Sri Chaitanya Manobi Stam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Danti Swam Padanti Kam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudev Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We'll read the following verse. Previous verse says, one who has killed a brahmana, one has killed a cow, one has killed his father, mother, or spiritual master, can be immediately free from sinful reaction simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Narayan. Other sinful persons, such as dog-eating chandalas, who are less than sutras, can also be free in this way. But you are a devotee, we shall help you perform the great horse sacrifice. If you please Lord Narayan in that way, why should you be afraid? You will be free even if you kill the entire universe, including the brahmanas, not to speak killing a disturbing demon like Vritrasura. In today's verse, Sukadeva Goswami said, encouraged by the words of the sages, Indra killed Vritrasura, and when he was killed, the sinful reaction for killing a brahmana, Brahmahaitya, certainly took shelter of Indra. So this is a short chapter, and whoever gives the class tomorrow can read the short purport and finish the chapter. Every morning we say Yani Kani Chapapani Brahmahadi Tayacha Tani Tani Parakshanti Parakshana Pade Pade. So it says this like Shokyamani Tulsi Devi, to get free from the Brahmahaitya, the effects of killing a Brahmana. But Indra was not free. That he told him, you kill the demon and you will do a horse sacrifice and then you'll get free from your reaction. But they couldn't do the horse sacrifice until Indra did some praischitya, some atonement. And this Indra had to go to live in one lake in the stem of a flower for 1,000 years. And Agnidev was bringing his share of the sacrifice. The demigods, when they perform sacrifice, they offer their food to Narayan, and it becomes prasadam. So Agnidev was bringing the prasadam to Indra, but Agni, the fire god, and he couldn't go on the water because fire and water don't mix. So Indra was actually starving for 1,000 years. And then after that, they performed a horse sacrifice. So there's four varnas, the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. Quality of a Brahman is peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmins work. So, the Brahmahatya, is a great offense to kill a Brahmana. But in Kali Yuga, it says, Kalo Suja Sambhava, there are no qualified Brahmins anymore. So a horse sacrifice, cow sacrifice is forbidden because no qualified Brahmins to chant the mantra. So one is born, maybe born in a Brahmin family, that doesn't make one a Brahmin. It's like if one is born in the family of a high court judge, one doesn't become a high court judge just by being taking birth in that way. But if he qualifies himself, then he become a high court judge. As Krishna says, Chaturvarna Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vidhagar Saha. It's not by Janma Karma, but by Guna, by quality. The Brahmin is supposed to be in the mode of goodness and have brahminical qualifications. That's a Brahmin. So, but superior to Brahmin are a Vaishnava, or devotees of the Lord. So, someone may have $1,000 or $10,000, but he's not a millionaire. But a millionaire has $1,000, $10,000 automatically. So one who's a Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmana. But we wonder, Srila Prabhupada, on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the order of his spiritual master, Piti Viti Yatrayata Nagarati Gram, Savatra Prachar Habe Mor Nam. In as many towns and villages on the surface of the earth, may my holy name be preached. This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat. So, this was predicted that the holy name would be preached in a town and village. But Srila Prabhupada did not go to the West to preach Brahmanism. He went to the West to make Vaishnavas. So the chanting the holy name in every town and village means that not only that the people hear the holy name, but also they take up the Vaishnav culture, Vaishnav dress, and take up the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is Prabhupada's purpose. But Prabhupada was criticized. When he came back to Vrindavan in 1972, he was heavily criticized by local Brahmins and even his godbrothers that you can't make Western people who are coming from very sinful backgrounds into Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. But Srila Prabhupada was acting on the strength of Shastra. It says, Yasha Yao Lakshana Proptam Pumso Varnabi Yajakam Yad Anyantrapi Drishetaya Tatin Naiva Vinir Deshet. If one shows the symptoms of a Brahman Katrin Vaishra Sudra, as described above, Even if he appears in a different class, she accepted according to those symptoms. Also, Prahlad Maharaj said, if a Brahmin has all 12 brahminical qualifications, as they are stated in the book called Sanat Sunjata, but is not a devotee and averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he's certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life, to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a brahmana because the devotee can purify his whole family, whereas the so-called brahmanas in a position of false prestige cannot even purify himself. And also it says that the occupational activities a man performs according to his position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. Shrama Abhi Kevalam. It's simply a useless waste of time. So the Brahmana is very dear to Lord Krishna. Gobramanya Devaya, Gobramanya Hitaycha, the Brahmins and the cows. But not the Mayavadi Brahmins, not the Smarta Brahmins, but the Vaishnav Brahmins. The Brahmins who worship Lord Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada gave second initiation in Australia. He went to Australia. He wanted to install the deity. But he had a rule there had to be 10 Brahmins in the temple. So he's going to initiate 10 people, give them second initiation. But they asked one Mataji, do you make Brahmin threads for everyone? So she said, what's the Brahmin thread? She didn't know. And then she said, shall I make one for myself? And they said, no, it's only for men. So Prabhupada gave Brahmin initiation to both men and women, which is not generally done, because the wife or the woman are supposed to follow the husband. Whatever the husband is, the wife automatically becomes that. If the husband's a Brahmin, the wife automatically becomes a Brahmin. But in this case, the women were all married, and so Prabhupada gave them second initiation and gave them Gayatri Mantra so they could worship the deity. But Prabhupada did this on the strength of the Shastra, even though he came under criticism by Smarta Brahmins. So many places in Shastra says that it doesn't matter, even if you come from a family of dog eaters, you can become a Brahmana if you're duly initiated. Like Sanatana Goswami says that by chemical manipulation, bell metal is turned into gold when touched by mercury. Similarly, when a person is properly initiated, he can acquire the qualities of a Brahmana. So Prabhupada gave second initiation, knowing that the people were not qualified, but with the expectation that they would become qualified. It's like when Lord Balaram did not want to take part in the battle of Kurukshetra, because Duryodhana, he was the guru of Duryodhana. He favored Duryodhana. And Krishna was his brother. So if he took Krishna's side, Duryodhana would have been upset. And if he took Duryodhana's side, Krishna would have been upset. So Balaram decided he would be neutral and not participate in the battle of Kurukshetra. So he started traveling on tour. And when he came to Namasharanya, there was a group of sages holding a discourse and doing a 1,000-year yajna. And they elected one, Roharsana Sutta, to the Vyasasan. So when Balaram came there, everybody knew that Balaram is the expansion of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So everyone folded their hands, stood up, and offered respect to Balaram. But Rohar, son of Sutta, who's sitting on the Vyasasan, and generally if a person sits on the Vyasasan, doesn't need to offer respect to anyone. But in this case, because he was falsely proud, he did not stand up, he did not even make any sign of offering respect to Balaram. So he was elected to the Vyasasan. But Balaram pointed out that he was born, his mother was a Brahmana, and his father was a Kshatriya. So his birth was not pure, but he was not a pure Brahmana. But because he was proud, and he still had some anarthas in Pratistha, this is called subtle sex life, Pratistha, wanting profit, adoration, distinction, he did not show proper respect to Balaram. So Balaram simply took a blade of kusa grass and touched Rohar Sanasuta and killed him. So, of course, this is not something unusual. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram, can do anything by his mystic power. It's like Krishna can do anything by his mystic power. So Prabhupada took the risk of making people into Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Shishi Gornita Krishna Bhagavad Shama Sundar Ki Jai. Because he wanted to spread Krishna consciousness. So though the people were not qualified to become Brahmanas, he still gave Brahman initiation, hoping that they would come up to the mode of goodness and come up to the standard and develop the good qualities of a Brahmana. So in the Krishna book, King Nariga, he was very charitably disposed. So he gave a group of cows to one Brahmana. Then he gave another group of cows to another Brahmana. But the Brahmana, one cow they gave to the first Brahman, wandered back into his herd, and he gave it to the second Brahmana. So they were both angry. They said, "This cow belongs to me." And King Nariga said, I'll settle this agreement. I'll give you each 100,000 cows." But they were smarter Brahmins. They weren't Vaishnava Brahmins. And they weren't lenient at all, and they would not accept his proposal, and they both went away angry. And so, and then King Nariga went to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj asked him, "Do you want to enjoy for your pious activities?" He had accumulated heaps of pious activities. Could have enjoyed in heaven for millions and millions of years. Or do you want to suffer for your impious activity? So King Nariga became bewildered, because no one wants to suffer. But he said, "Okay, I'll suffer first." So immediately he became a lizard in a well. And but he was also a devotee. So even in that lizard body, he still could remember that he was a devotee. He can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the Yadu dynasty, they saw the lizard in the well. They tried to get him out of the well, but they couldn't do it. So they called Krishna. Krishna put his left hand in the well and pulled the lizard out and turned him into a demigod, gave him a demigod body. Then King Nariga narrated the story how he became a lizard in the well. So in that story, Krishna said that the very principle that we should give charity to Brahmanas. Brahmanas should be respected in all circumstances. It says that if one simply touches the the property of a brahmana. He has to suffer not only himself, but three generations in the past. If one takes the property of a brahmana, he has to suffer 10 generations, not only himself, but 10 generations in the family after, they also have to suffer. So if one even thinks about taking the property of brahmana, or touches the property of brahmana, or takes the property of brahmana, one has to suffer. And not only does he have to suffer himself, but he has to, his whole family has to suffer also for a long time. It says if one takes the property of a brahmana, he has to go to Kumbhipaka and suffer for 60,000 years as a worm in stool. Even if one gets, someone else steals the property of brahmana and gives it to you, you also have to suffer and take birth as a serpent. So this is a warning that to usurp the property of a brahmana is very dangerous, very detrimental. But we know even worse than that is Vaishnava aparad, because a Vaishnava is more than a brahmana. And if one offends a Vaishnava, this is called the mad elephant offense. 10 offenses in chanting the holy name. The first offense is to blaspheme devotees or criticize devotees who dedicate their lives to preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. So we know that when Gopal Chapala, he was not allowed to enter the house of Srivas Thakur when the kirtan was going on. The kirtan was exclusively for those who were Nitya Siddha, pure devotees of Lord Chaitanya. So he took the articles for worshipping Durga and put them on the doorstep of Srivas Thakur. And Srivas Thakur opened his door in the morning and saw the paraphernalia for worshipping Durga. He called all his neighbors and said, declared, just see, I'm a Shakti worshiper. I'm a worshiper of Durga. Then he had the place cleaned with cow dung, and they took everything away. But Gopal Chapala immediately got a reaction, and he got leprosy. And he had to live outside the village because leprosy is contagious and suffer greatly. And Lord Chaitanya came by one day, and he asked, he said to Lord Chaitanya, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can you free me from my suffering? And Lord Chaitanya said, no, you've offended my devotee. You're not only suffering now, but Yamaraj had 84,000 different kinds of punishments, and you're going to have to go through every single one of them to get free from your offense. So Gopal Chapala didn't know what to do. But then Lord Chaitanya told him, if you go to Srivas Thakur and fall in the street, beg forgiveness, and ask for his mercy, then you can get free from your offense. So he did that, and he became a Vaishnava devotee. Also in one assembly, Haridas Thakur was called and to speak on the glories of the holy name. And Haridas Thakur said that chanting the holy name will give one prema, love for Krishna, and that liberation, getting free from sinful activities, was a side effect of the holy name. So there was one man there whose name was Gopal Chapala, and he was a tax collector. He had a beautiful body, but he was also very proud. So he challenged Haridas Thakur and said, what you say about the holy name is not true, may your nose fall off. And Haridas Thakur, being a humble devotee, said, yes, if it's not true, may my nose fall off. But Gopal Chakrabarti committed the mad elephant offense by offending Haridas Thakur. You know, Haridas Thakur even though he was born in a Muslim family, he was given the title Namacharya. And he was considered one of the foremost devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even though in Jagannath Puri, he was not allowed to go into temple. And Rupa and Sanatana Goswami also, because they had served Muslims and taken Muslim names and Muslim dress and were ousted from the Brahmin community, did not go in the temple. But Haridas Thakur was still considered Namacharya, better than any Brahmin. And because Gopal Chapla offended Haridas Thakur by telling him his nose would fall off, in just a few days his nose fell off and his fingers melted away. He got leprosy. So this is the result of offending a Vaishnava Aparad. So we should be very careful not to offend Vaishnavas. Every day we chant Manchakalpa Trivyascha Kribisanevicha Patinam Pavanevyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha. So we pray that knowingly or unknowingly, we pray to all the Vaishnavas to forgive us if we've committed any offense. Because if you commit Vaishnava Aparad, your devotional service will be checked, not only in this life, but can be checked for many lifetimes. So that's in mad elephant offense. When the elephant goes in the garden, everything is destroyed. So one's devotional service is destroyed by this offense. Then Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita especially, there's so many warnings, so many stories that are saying that this blasphemy and criticizing Vaishnavas is very grievous, very heinous offense. It's not something to be taken lightly. And also says if you criticize or blaspheme Vaishnava, you have to go to hell, you have to go to Kumbhipaka and suffer for a very long time. So this is why we should always be careful in our dealings with the devotees, that we don't commit any offenses. We know that they deputed Bhrigu Muni, where sages were having a discussion. I wanted to perform a sacrifice, and they wanted to know who they should worship first. Who was supreme? Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu. So they were confused, because sometimes it says that Shiva is Bhagavan, sometimes it says that Lord Brahma is Bhagavan. Sometimes it says that Vishnu is Brahmana. So Bhrigu Muni went to his father and he didn't offer obeisances. He says it was first thing in the morning when one sees the father, spiritual master, one should offer obeisances and respects. So Brahma became very angry and wanted to kill him, but he exhibited the mode of passion. He checked his anger. Then he went to his brother, because Lord Bhrigu Muni and Lord Shiva were born from the same father, Lord Brahma. And Lord Shiva came to embrace him. He said, "No, no, don't touch me. You're impure. You put ashes all over your body. You have ghosts and so many creatures around you. I don't, you know what kind of character you are." So Lord Shiva, he became very angry. He pulled out his trident and was ready to kill Bhrigu Muni, exhibiting the mode of ignorance. But Mother Parvati, she fell down at the feet of Bhrigu Muni at Lord Shiva and begged him to pardon him. So then Bhrigu Muni went to Lord Vishnu, and as soon as he got to Vaikuntha, he kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest. Now this would be considered a heinous offense. The first offense was by the mind. Second offense was by the words. And third offense was by the body, a corporal offense. And this is the most grievous, the worst of all offenses. The Lord Vishnu said to Bhriga Muni, "I'm sorry you came. I didn't see you. I didn't respect you. My chest is very hard. I hope you didn't hurt your foot." But Bhriga Muni, being a scholar, a great sage, devotee, he didn't do that on his own accord. He was empowered to do that, just to prove the point that show that Lord Vishnu is not under the influence of the modes of material nature, passion, goodness, or ignorance. So he kicked the Lord in the chest, not on his own accord, but he was empowered to do that. So he didn't get a reaction, but he proved his point and was able to prove to the sages that they should worship Lord Vishnu in all circumstances. It says, Krishna's tu bhagavan sayam. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one's equal to or greater than him. So Prabhupada came to spread this Vaishnava culture, to give people Brahman initiation, to help spread the Vaishnava culture all over the world. And even though devotees meet with so many difficulties, it's not so easy preaching in this world, modern age, with so many opposition. Many people are envious and can't tolerate. Just by seeing devotees, people become angry for no reason. What is it? A devotee is the only people on the planet that are following any kind of strict religious principles. No meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. And chanting the holy name of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 16 rounds every day. So no one in any other religion is doing that. But because we're not known, or no one knows that we're Vaishnavas, that we're actually not pretenders, we're not cheaters, but we're a bona fide religion, then they're giving so much trouble. In so many countries, we have so much trouble. But when people take the time to study our philosophy and study our books and associate with devotees, then they get a change of heart. Many times there's professors who bring their college classes to the temple on a tour, and the professor himself will be a little envious and doubtful in the beginning. But the more he comes, and the more he eats prasadam, and the more he associates with the devotees, he becomes more and more favorable. He starts to like prasadam. He starts to like everything. Even though the students are not very interested. So we try to give them a little idea about Krishna consciousness, and about deity worship, and about devotional service. So Krishna says, Bhakti Mama Me Jananti, that I can only be understood by devotional service. In the other religion, the Catholic religion, the priests are supposed to be celibate, they're not supposed to have sex life, but they have difficulty controlling themselves, controlling their senses. And Prabhupada said, we read in the purport in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that text number 39, purport, Prabhupada says, over and above chanting Hare Krishna, one must control his senses. So devotees, in all circumstances, we have to control our senses. Especially Saira Vijajal, we say the tongue is most voracious and difficult to control. So everybody's hungry, thinking about prasadam. But this is how we control our tongue, by taking Krishna prasadam. But we shouldn't take too much. Even if one does a house program, if one goes to a house program and thinks that I'm going to enjoy a nice feast, that is also sense gratification. That means one does not have control of his tongue. If someone's becoming fat, gaining weight, it's also not good. It's a detrimental spiritual life. Rupa Goswami says, easy living and Krishna consciousness go ill together. So in all cases, we should control our senses, especially the tongue. The tongue wants to vibrate and the tongue wants to taste. So the tongue always wants to speak. So one has to control the tongue, control the mind, control the belly, control the genitals, control the power of anger. In this way, one can become a spiritual master all over the world. For those who've taken sannyas especially, they get the title Goswami. Goswami means one who has, go means senses, Swami means one who has control of the senses. So Goswami is one who has full control, has senses, and has does not associate with women. And Prahlad Maharaj says we should only talk to women when there's emergency cases, not otherwise. We should not associate with women. Because the association with men who are attached to women or association with women, this is detrimental to devotional service. This will spoil our devotional service. The sannyasi, he does not associate with women, and has to be very careful that he doesn't break his vow and give up his ashram, sannyas ashram. So these are other points, but we know that Shishupal, that if one hears blasphemy of a devotee, one should immediately go away. When one hears blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he should go away. If you can't go away, you should cover your ears. If you can't do that, you should cut out the tongue of the offender and then kill yourself. But you can't do that either. So at the Rajasuya sacrifice, Shishupal, he blasphemed Krishna. He had the benediction. He could blaspheme Krishna for 100 times. So the Rajasuya sacrifice was to be held, and they decided that Krishna should be worshipped first. But Shishupal was envious of Krishna, and he gave so many reasons why Krishna shouldn't be worshipped first. He said Krishna is nothing but a crow. And then the people, many people left that assembly not wanting to hear blasphemy of the Lord, and the Pandavas and all the Kshatriyas there, they wanted to kill Shishupal. But the Lord stopped them, because if one drop of blood had fallen on the ground, they couldn't have the sacrifice. It would have contaminated the sacrifice. So Krishna, with his disc weapon, cut off the head of Shishupal, who did his 100th blasphemy, and he made sure that not one drop of blood fell on the sacrificial arena. Of course, Shishupal is one of the Jai and Vijay, the attendants of Lord Vishnu, who were cursed by the four Kumaras to come in the material world and play the role of demon. So we should not hear blasphemy, or we should not blaspheme devotees, because if one hears blasphemy of a devotee, and then he will also fall down from his position. So this verse is describing Brahmahatya, the offense of killing a Brahmana. Indra had a suffer reaction, and so did all the other people who encouraged Indra to kill Vritrasura. There's a warning that we should be very careful in dealing with everyone. There's Vaishnava aparad, there's Seva aparad, there's Dham aparad, there's Jiva aparad. So we should not offend anyone. We should not even offend ordinary people. But we should know that offending Brahmins and offending Vaishnavas is the most serious type of offenses. In all circumstances, they should be avoided. without exception. And therefore, we should carefully study Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, which over and over again is saying the same thing, that if one is born in a family of dog eaters and has acquired the qualities of a Brahmin, he should be considered a Brahmin or a Vaishnava. It's not by birth. Dr. Varna Mayashisham Guna Karma Vanahagashaha. It's not Janma Karma. So anybody in this world can become a Brahmin or a Vaishnava if he meets a bona fide spiritual master and takes initiation from him and takes to the process of Krishna consciousness and gives up his sinful activities. It's not restricted to any particular class of men. When Prabhupada opened the temple, this temple in 1975, local people, they came, they wouldn't eat our cooking. They said, we can't eat the cooking by Malechias. Then one of Prabhupada's godbrothers asked Prabhupada to give some money to help with some project. And Prabhupada said, you won't eat our cooking, but you want to take our money. He said, but our money is also contaminated, so we can't give you our money. So then Prabhupada said, yes, they won't eat our cooking, but they'll take our money. So either way, either case, there's a contradiction that if one is a Brahmin, is initiated, he can worship the deity. He's not restricted, but he must be following strictly. So as individually, we should all follow strictly and set a good example. Prabhupada wants all disciples to be perfect, ladies and gentlemen, or first-class men and women. And they asked Prabhupada, what's a first-class man? And he said, anyone who follows the four principles, no meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, this is a first-class man. So this is the... In today's modern world, the 99.9% of the population is addicted to sinful activities. But those devotees of the Lord are very kind. They go all over, preach Krishna consciousness, and try to meet those people who are innocent and convert them into becoming Vaishnavas. And by doing so, that person is not only benefiting himself, but he's benefiting his whole family, even though they don't know it. So no one should disrespect a Vaishnava or a devotee. We should be respectful to everyone, not commit offenses. In this way, we'll not have to suffer a reaction like Indra did. But we'll stop there since time is short. No time for questions. Śrīla Bhāgavatam ki jāi. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāi.